All right, this morning, I'd like to have a children's church first, if we could. If we could have all the children come up from up to about 12 years old, I reckon. Let's do that. See if we can get them to come up and sit on the floor. Is that okay? We'll have them sit on the floor. If parents want to come up with them, that's fine. I'm staying with the children. You can sit on the chairs or on the floor, whichever you want. You want to come? You want to come sit here? Come sit right here. All right. You can sit right here. That's fine. All right. Looks like a lively bunch this morning. I got some questions I'd like to ask you. How many of you like to go on a vacation? How many of you like to go on a vacation? Do you like to go on a trip? Do you like to go traveling? Like to Jamaica? Uh-huh. You like to go on a trip? Do you like to go on a trip? You enjoy going on a journey? Huh? Not to Jamaica. No. No, definitely no. Oh, that's terrible. I know all about it. They did that to me. They put flour all over my head when I was there because it was my birthday. So anyway, as you think about going on a trip, what's some things that you would have to decide as you want to go on a trip? What would be the first thing you'd have to decide if you want to go on a vacation? You have to, first of all, want to go, right? You have to want to go on a trip. I think it was Elvin said here the other Sunday, he said something about there's a lot of people that are on a journey or on a journey of life that are not happy because they don't even want to be there. They don't even want to be where they're at on the journey that God maybe has called them to. So we have to determine that we want to go on a trip before we even plan it, right? Now, what's the next thing we'd have to decide? If we want to go on a vacation, what do we have to determine? Where do we want to go? We have to decide where we want to go, right? How will we end up? Where will we end up if we have no destination in mind, right? So we'd have to decide, do we want to go to Jamaica? Do we want to go to Mexico, Florida? Where do you want to go? Huh? Liberia, yes. All right, Florida. So if we want to go to Liberia, Morgan, will we get in a car and drive to Florida? We would never end up in Liberia, would we? No, no. So what's some other things we have to decide? Do we have to pack some things? Do we have to try and plan for our trip? What? We got to pack some clothing. You got to pack things for the journey. You need to make sure you have enough money for food or pack some food.
Pack some money.
Money, yeah. Takes lots of planning. To go on a journey, doesn't it? It takes a lot of planning. And then, what's the? How do you determine like how long are you going to stay there? Like you got to determine how long you're going to stay there, right?
4 days.
Four days. That's good. And then we would turn around, right? 4 days we would stay on a vacation, right? But then we also have to decide when are we going to start? Which day are we going to leave? Right? We'd have to decide. All these things we'd have to decide about going on a journey. Right? Now, what's one other thing that we'd have to have along if we're going to go on a trip? How are we going to figure out how to get there?
GPS.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need a GPS. What is it? Isaiah. What does the GPS tell your daddy if he goes the wrong way? Do you know what it says?
Go that way.
It says go that way. But if we turn the wrong way, does anybody know what it says? What does it say if we start going the wrong way?
Nothing.
Make the next legal U-turn, right? Right? Because if it knows that we're not going the right direction, if we're trying to go to Liberia and we're headed for Florida, it's going to tell us to make the next legal U-turn, right? Because we're not going to get where we want to go. So we need to put the destination in, and we need to follow that GPS, right?
Yeah, one time, Mama followed it, and she followed it, and it made it go
with dead end. Oh, that's terrible. Well, I want to say something. The GPS is the most important thing I want to talk about this morning, and that's what our Bible is for our road map to heaven, is like a GPS, okay? And there's many warnings in the Bible, too, about making the next legal U-turn. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So as I share a message this morning, I want you to be listening to the things that we just talked about that I want to talk to your mom and dads about, okay? Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll dismiss you back to your parents. Lord, we thank you so much for these wonderful children. And God, I just pray that as we look at these children and they are the next generation of the church, God, I pray a blessing on them. God, I just pray that your spirit would pour out upon them in a special way. Would you draw them to yourself? Would you teach them the ways of your ways, Lord? We just commit them to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Do we have that on yet, Jeremy? Is it on? Well, it's coming. Yes. Yes. Well, this morning I would like to talk about a journey. And we are all on a journey whether we want to be or not. And I know we got to determine, first of all, whether we even want to be on a journey. And something jumped out at me. I don't know if it was last Sunday, but Elvin shared something about there's a lot of people in the journey of life that are miserable, just downright miserable. And it is a lot of times by choice that they become miserable. And I want to explain some of that as we go through. Hopefully this will make sense when we get through this here. But I want to look at some of the things that we determine here. First of all, you have to want to go on a journey. Second of all, you need to know where you want to go on your journey. You need to know how many days you are staying. And on the journey I'm going to be talking about is eternity. That's forever. And you need to determine when you are going to start your journey. When are you starting your journey? And then you need a map or a GPS. Them are some of the things we want to look at. First of all, do you even recognize that you're on a journey? Do you even recognize that your life is not just a humdrum, every day, whatever happens, happens, that's just the way it is? No, you're on a journey. You're on a journey, how you determine what is going to happen on that journey is your response to the Father. Your response to the Father. And that Sunday school lesson this morning talked about the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I have to really think of that, because your journey is going to be affected by the way you love the Lord your God and His Word. Your journey will definitely be affected by that. And it will determine your destination if you do not determine where you want to go. Where you want to go on your journey. Life is definitely a journey. And I want to ask you a question. I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. Are you traveling in the right direction for the destination you expect to get to? Are you traveling? Are the things you are doing today in line with the dead? Did that thing just stall? Okay, no, it keeps going. Are the things that you are doing? I have to think of the verse in the Bible that says, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." People will see your good works. Now, good works will never get you to heaven, but after you are saved, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and by that they can glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is very, very important. Very important to understand the concept that are you traveling in the right direction? Have you ever traveled in the wrong direction but thought you were right? Have you ever gone the wrong direction and thought you were right? Everybody must be going the right direction. Good. Nobody's ever gone the wrong direction. Do you ever argue with the GPS? Or is Andy landed up in the dead end? GPS will not find my house, I promise you. First of all, I want to say this. Parents, do you realize that on your journey of life, you are setting an example for these children right here? more than the world around you, I am more concerned about the example that you are setting for your own children, the children of this very church. The journey of life that you're on is definitely setting an example. Is the life travels that you have chosen today the path you want your children to follow? The journey that you're on, is it the one that you want your children to follow? And the other question I have, the travel and the journey that you're on, is it bringing you closer to the Father or closer to the world? There's two destinations. And the Bible says the love of the world is enmity or hatred with God. Where is your decisions and your choices taking you? Is it taking you closer to the Father? Or is it taking you closer to the world? And God hates the world and knows it loved the world. And I'm not talking about where he says, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is a completely different statement when he says the love of the world. The Christian is not supposed to love the world. He's supposed to love the Father more. Now, what do your children see on your journey? As you're journeying through life, what do your children see? Do they see the way you treat your spouse? Do they see the way you talk about other people? Do they see the way you treat the church? Do they see the way? What is it? Is this the life journey that you want your children to follow? Are you setting the example that you really want them to follow? Is it the one that you want them to follow for eternity to come? Or is it all about you and what you want and your desires and your cares and what you want? Or are you living your life that your children have something solid to follow? What are you basing it on? What do you base your life on as you think about it? And I think of this here verse. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, and I say this for the fathers and mothers out there, Paul said this very clearly. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Are we more concerned about what the world has to offer or about what Jesus offered, which was to die to self and give everything for our family, for our children? Are you willing to give what the world has to offer for what Christ has to offer for your children, for their sake? Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It was also in Christ Jesus. That mindset was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Psalm 84:5-7 says this, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca, which means weeping. There's a lot of trials in life. There's a lot of struggles in life, and there's a lot of challenges. But as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Now, I want to read this in the message. And by the way, when I use this message, this is not a translation of the Bible. This is a paraphrase. This is not a translation like NIV or King James or any of them there. This is literally a paraphrase. And it says, and how blessed all those in whom you live, whose lives become roads you travel. And he's talking about God. They wind through lonesome valleys, come upon brooks, discover cool springs and pools brimming with rain. God traveled. These roads curve up the mountain, and at the last turn, Zion, God in full view. That's the journey we want to be on. And I just challenge you as we go through this, where are you at on this journey of life? What do you plan? What are you setting examples for your children? What are you setting as examples that they can follow? First of all, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. And I am saying this, in the journey of life, you need to give it everything you've got, everything. You don't have time to sit around worrying about what the world has to offer. You have got to give it your all. There's not a choice between one way or the other. If you expect for your children to follow the way of truth, you have got to give it everything you've got, and you've got to lay down your selfish desires and follow that path. It's got to happen. There is no other way that I'm aware of that you cannot lead a life that is leading toward the world and expect your children to want to follow the way to heaven that Jesus Christ has offered. Now, I know that works will never, never, never. You can never be saved by works. But there's a lot of people that want to accept Christ as a Savior and not as Lord of their life. Not as Lord. They just want Him as a Savior. And they want to live their own life. And there is a warning that comes. It says that, have I not cast out demons in Your name? Have I not done all these wonderful things in Your name, Lord? And He says, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Them are the ones that never allowed Him to be Lord of their life. They never allowed Him to even come in. They accepted Him as Savior and they called on that name. And that's where they left it, right there. They never, never allowed Him to be Lord of their life. He says, depart from Me, ye workers of iniquity. It's pretty harsh words. Pretty harsh words. And I'm only sharing this as a challenge. Where is your life headed? Where are you heading down the road? Where do you want to be 20 years from now? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Choice is yours. Each one has a choice. You need to know where you want to go. Are your sights set on heaven? Or is the here and now more important? And worse yet, are your sights set on heaven and your thoughts and ideas and life and everything you're living for set on the world? They will never come together. They will never come together. What are you living for? Are you planning to go to heaven with your sights set on the world, places, and things of the world? Or are you going there set on truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are your sights set on heaven and you're following the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth that the Scripture has to offer? Psalm 111:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. All who follow His precepts, His laws, His words, His words of truth, all that follow them have good understanding, and to Him belongs eternal praise. And Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me, and leave the world behind. John 21:18-22, Jesus said, feed My sheep, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Now listen, I've heard some people talking about that video Wednesday night. And a lot of them people were crucified for their faith in Jesus Christ. And here, Jesus is telling Peter that he is going to be crucified. Listen, is that not scary? Nobody said yet that you are for sure going to be crucified, but Jesus literally told Peter, you will be crucified. Then He said to him, follow Me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And this is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray You? When Peter saw Him, he asked, Lord, what about Him? And Jesus answered, if I want Him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow Me. You must follow Me. It doesn't matter what He has for Amos or Tommy or Lee. It don't matter what He has for the one around you. Are you willing to stand alone and follow Christ? Are you willing to set priorities in your home to follow Christ so that your children have something to follow? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to set them standards? 1 Timothy 4:1, and these are all about you need to know where you want to go. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. 2 Peter says many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Yeah. Jude 1:16 says, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. And then Jude again says, and they said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. Now, you need to know, I'm just going to go through some scripture verses on this here, and I got at the end here of the part with the GPS is where I want to focus in on. You need to know how many days you are staying, and if we think of focus, think of journeying on our journey to heaven, it's for eternity. And eternity is a long, long time. Do you ever stop and just gaze up in the sky and wonder how far and how long is eternity? How long is it? It's a long time. Can't be measured by time, but it's forever. And Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. And I say this, in today's world, turn from the world and turn to Christ, and you will dwell in the land forever. Turn to the precepts that God has given us in His Word. Turn to the things to follow that Jesus has made very, very clear. And not be deceived. It says many will fall away. And then last days. And then you need to determine when you are starting your journey. And that only happens when you are born again. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And folks, to be born again is so serious that I wonder sometimes in my own life, when I accepted Christ as my, quote, Savior, my life did not change. 6 years later, I accepted Him as Lord of my life, and my whole life radically changed, everything about it. It will not happen until you allow Him to be Lord of your life, that there will be a radical, radical change in your life if He is Lord. He is Lord of everything in your life. Now, on this journey, you need a map or a GPS. And I asked the children that question, what does a GPS say when you're going the wrong way? What does it say? It says, make the next legal U-turn. I wonder this morning, how many people is God tapping on the shoulder, asking them to make the next legal U-turn? Where is your life heading? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing in life? What is it that you're following after? What do you want out of life? And what do you want for your children? God may be telling many people this morning to make the next legal U-turn. And you know what? You can ignore it. And it'll try and reset your destination on a GPS. God will not reset that destination. Now, there are many, I believe, that travel in the wrong direction. Many. And you know what? They even know that they're going in the wrong direction. They even know that the choices that they're making and the way that they're leading their family, they even know that that is not really where they want their children to be. But they refuse to change because of the world around them. The people around them and their friends and their family, they refuse to change. They know that that is not what they really want for their children. There's a lot of people that know. These are individuals who have seen the roadmap. They know the route needed to get on to their destination, but have traveled the opposite direction knowingly. And I want to say this. I want to give you the example of Jonah. He knew where God wanted him to go, and he chose to go another direction. Now, God had a fish that swallowed him up. He got thrown off the ship, first of all. He didn't know what was all going to happen, but he ended in a road that led to death. They literally threw him out of the ship. Now, we know the rest of the story, but Jonah, at that point, did not know the rest of the story. But the road that he chose led to death. He chose to go the direction that God did not want him to go. Now, God, in His grace, had a fish swallow him up and take him to where He wanted him to go in the first place. How many of us are looking for a whale, hoping that that'll make the difference? Well, if God don't want me to go this way, He'll send a whale and swallow me up, and He'll put me back where I'm supposed to be. So as far as that goes, I'm just going to live the life that I feel I should live or whatever, the way I want to do it. And you know what? God never does the same thing twice. There won't be another whale that swallows a man and spits him out somewhere in wherever that name was, Tarshish. There are many who are traveling wrong, but are thinking that they are right then also. There's a lot that are traveling wrong and know they're wrong, but refuse to change. There are many who are traveling wrong, but thinking they're right. They will convince themselves there is no problem with the route they have chosen. They reason, here's what they do, they reason in their minds that what they're doing is serving a greater cause. Whether it's community service, whether it's their job, Whether it's, oh, they'll say, well, I need to put bread on the table for my family because I need to work all the time. All these things that they choose to do to avoid the real issues of life with their family or their spouse or with their relationship with Jesus Christ, they're too busy because they got all these reasons and they justify it away. And listen, it's not going to work. With that mindset, they travel at full speed without checking a roadmap or a GPS to consider whether the route they are taking is taking them closer to God or closer to the world. Where is the route that you're on taking you? Where is the direction that you are focused on this morning? Where's it taking you? Just ask yourself that question. Where's that taking you? In the busyness of life, sometimes we just tend to float along and just expect, well, God will change, whatever, don't have to be, or whatever. No, we are creatures of choice. God has given every one of us a choice, and it is our responsibility to choose what is happening there. Now, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, leads to death. You know, here the last couple weeks, we had, we had Steve Stutzman here on the headship order. And then we had Joe Hershberger come and share on non-resistance as being a way of life. And you know, there's a lot of people sat in them meetings and said, oh, that sounds good. Hey, that sounds really good. Hey, everything is just fine. And they left there with their same focus and their same vision and their same goals in mind and never thought for once that God may be saying, make the next legal U-turn. Make the next legal U-turn. Never once thought that it might be talking to them. There's a lot of people, I believe, sat in their meetings and thought, well, that sounds good. Here's the problem. Many will continue on that journey knowing they're wrong, but refusing to change because they get all wrapped up in feelings instead of facts. They get all wrapped up in feelings. What feels good to me must be right. No. The Bible is not about a feeling. The Bible is about a fact. It is all about facts. And if it don't feel good, I don't have to believe it. No, it's a fact. It's not about whether it feels good or whether it's a good feeling. I would like if everyone would turn in their Bibles to Matthew 13. You know what, I might even have it. I think I have it up here. Matthew 13. I want to read verses 1 through 23. And it's the parable of the sower. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still the other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied this, and I want you to catch this for everything. If you don't remember anything else this morning, I want you to catch this. He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. Period. Even what he has will be taken from him. Now, I'd like to do a little illustration of that. If I could have Joel come up here first. And I want to explain this for a minute. It says, whoever has will be given more. And the knowledge is talking about the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. So the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Okay? Now, as the master comes back and looks at Joel and says, Joel, oh, hey, yes, he's got a penny. I gave him a penny. So now I'm going to give him a nickel because I'm going to give him more. And you know what? Then when he comes back and he checks it out and says, oh, my, see that? He's still got that, so I'm going to give him a dime. So on and so on. Then he comes back and says, oh, you still have that? Okay, I'm going to give you a quarter. And it adds and adds and adds and adds. Now, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Now, Andy, come here. Here's what happens. God's standing there with more abundance to give, and he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. Okay? And after a while, master comes back, checks it out. He don't have it. I'm going to take other things from them too. That's exactly the way it works. Listen, as we understood the headship, as we understood the non-resistance, if you are not willing, when them things are taught, here, you can have it. I'll give it back to you this time. If you do not, as them things are enlightened into your understanding and the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, and you refuse to follow it, and you refuse to understand it, he will take other things from you, and you will understand why. You will try and figure out why, and it will make no sense. It is a spiritual thing. If you reject the very teachings of Scripture, the rest will be taken from you also. It will be taken from you. Your marriages will fall apart. Your children are going to leave. All these things are going to happen. It promises you that right there. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. That's very serious. And I just say that's also, that very concept is also in the parable of the talents. It's the same concept, very same concept. What is the journey that you are following? Is it leading you closer to God, or is it leading you to the world? Now, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will always hear these things, but you will never understand them because you are not willing to live it out. Now, you will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. That is a promise by Jesus Christ, the one that can save us. And so many of us are thinking we're on that journey by saying, oh, I love Jesus, but I'm going to live my own life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Let me get back on track here. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Verse 17 says, for I tell you the truth. And here I want you to catch this too. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. The teachings that we have today, that is, many a prophet and many a religious righteous man longed to see what you see but did not see it, or to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen to then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sowed along the path. And the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell in the good soil is a man who hears the word, understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. It will be added unto you. That what was sown. In closing, I want you to think of this. This is in Luke 12, 47 to 48, and right before these verses, right before these verses. He said, I should look it up, but he said, if I come back, if there's a servant, if the story of the servant and the master, and he said, if that master comes back on a day that servant does not expect, and finds him doing his own thing, drinking, beating the maidservants, doing whatever he wants to do, whatever he in his own mind wants to do, he says, I will cut him to pieces and I will cast him among the unbelievers. Now that was a servant that, quote, had Jesus as their Savior. A servant is only a servant because he's bought with a price. He cannot be a servant if he was not bought with a price. So he's talking about a master and a servant. He's talking about Jesus and me, you and Christ. Now he goes here and says, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And that is not talking about money. That is talking about the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus was talking there, he was talking about that treasures of the kingdom of heaven. I have a question. Do all religions lead to God? And you know, there's a big argument and debate goes on about that. And people say, no, they don't. I say, yes, they do. Every religion leads to God, and you have to hear me out. Because every one of them is going to lead to God's judgment. Every one of them is going to lead to God's judgment, except the Christians. They have the choice of judging themselves today. Where are you at? You have the choice of judging yourself today. Check yourself out. Where are you at? Where are you at in your life? It says in the end time, and I should have looked this up, but in Revelation it talks about the book for the Christian, the book will be open. And if the name is not found there, then it says the books will be open. But if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not be judged. You will be judged for, there is a judgment for heaven, the way I understand, for your works that you have done in the Lord then. But if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not face that judgment that he's talking about where he says the books will be opened. That is for the unbeliever. Now, no matter what religion one embraces, everyone will meet God after death. Hebrews 9:27-28 says this. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to who? Those who are waiting for him. What are you waiting for and what is your journey leading you to? Where are you headed in your journey of life? The decision to embrace the truth about God is important for a simple reason. Eternity is an awful long time to not understand God's Word, God's Son, and to not understand that our life must be, have Christ as Lord of our life. Eternity is an awful long time to go through this life being ignorant and thinking that it won't matter. It will matter. Now, I just want to share this as something that I thought of when Steve was here talking about the headship order. And this is something I fear we fall into so bad. And I just want to share this for whatever it's worth. If a woman in the Garden of Eden reached for fruit that she thought would make her feel good, and she thought would make her as wise as God, and it was in a perfect world, and man, Adam, was standing right there beside her and didn't have the gumption to reach out and take her hand and say no, in a perfect world, what's the chances that's going to happen today in a fallen world? What is the chance in a fallen world that women will reach for things that they think will make them feel good, and men will just stand by and say, go ahead. Go ahead. Men, are we wimps that we will not take that hand and say no? That is following to the world. That is going after the world. We want to follow the journey that God has laid out for us. Are you on the destination? Are you on the journey that you want your children to follow? And men, you are responsible for your family. I don't care what happens. You are responsible for how you lead your family. No ifs, ands, or buts. And if you are not able to stand there and say no to some of the things that come into our lives, to some of the things that come in, you will be held accountable for that very thing. And here's the thing. Women, and this is nothing against women at all, but women operate on feeling. And men operate on fact. And men, you will be held accountable for not taking and saying no for your family. There's things your family's going to want to do, and there's things your wife's going to want to do. And you are going to have to say no. If a woman was able to do that in a perfect world, what are the chances she will do that in a world that is fallen? Let's stand. Where are the men? God, I thank you this morning. And God, I just pray a blessing on everyone here. And God, as I think of the message this morning, God, I just pray that it is not a message of condemnation, but a message of awakening. God, I pray that the men of this day and age that are following Christ, that want to have their destination and their family in heaven, God, I pray that them men would be bold, that they would stand up for truth and facts against everything else that's out there. God, I just pray that you would give them the strength and that courage to be able to do that, and also the realization that they will be held accountable for the way they lead their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.